Well, the nice weather is setting in here in the Northwest, so...
Theoretically, yes.
It's always
it's
a trick.
It's a bit of a tease.
It is. Yeah. It's only March, and we're seeing bouts of 67 degrees, which is, like, completely abnormal. I mean, we get some sunshine, but this... Whenever the sun comes out after a rainy and wet, just blunder of a winter, bluster.
I don't know. It's a big bummer.
We all go crazy. Like, we are all just outside all the time. And then you feel guilty and shamed if you're not outside. So we're going to talk about what that means for parents. What does it mean? What are some ways that we can be outside with our kids, like daily rhythms, weekly rhythms, monthly rhythms, and why those are beneficial, not just for our physical health, but is there some spiritual growth that could happen in those moments outside? Are there ways we can evangelize to our neighbors or share the gospel with them? Are there ways that we can overcome some of the trials we've been having with our children by just getting outside? What might that look like? We're going to discuss that today on the other side.
How to cram 1,000 hours into one day. That's what we're talking about here today.
Okay. We're not trying to be God here, okay? We are not omnipresent, omnipotent, and all the omnis.
Oh, we're not.
This is not what we're created for, and this is not what we're talking about.
That's good. I'm happy to play the created, not the creator.
Yes.
So, Selena, you had brought this idea to the table, and it's around the concept of 1,000 hours, and... That wasn't in the hook intro.
It wasn't because it's not my thing. It's the 1,000 hours outside things thing.
Okay, well,
it's their thing.
We're going to treat it like our thing here today. We're going to talk about it. If you don't know who we are, I am Ryan. This is my lovely wife, Selena. We're the Fredericks, and we do the Fierce Marriage Podcast on Tuesdays. This happens to be the Fierce Parenting Podcast that releases just about every Thursday. You know, we hit some hurdles back in the fall. And we're trying to get back on the horse here with the parenting side.
Yeah.
I've just been doing full-time Westminster courses, and it's been very consuming.
Yeah, he's been doing Hebrew. So trying to learn another
language. Well, the
languages
are always like that because it's just so much so fast.
And it's either you know it or you don't, right? You can't fudge your way through an essay.
So are you speaking of me right there or your own college experience?
That I do not know of. My own college experience. You can fudge your way a little bit through some history essays, but you got to know your stuff.
Revisionist history is what
language.
This is.
This is not.
Anyway, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to become a Fierce Fellow in the Fierce Fellowship, we would love that. Go to Fierce Marriage. Not that. Go to fierceparenting.com/partner.
You should say if you want to be a Fierce Fellow on the Fierce Fellowship. Like we should have a ship. Name the Fierce Fellow.
Is that my thing not good enough? You have to go make up your own thing. So if you want to be a part of that, we would be honored. That's one of the main ways the Lord has seen fit to provide for our family during this season of doing the Fierce Families Marriage Parenting Ministry. Mm-hmm. So if you're on board with the mission of Fierce Parenting, we would enjoy that. You said this is going to be a fun episode.
I think it's fun. So you brought up the 1,000 hour thing. Let's close the loop on that. So on Instagram, there's this account that's called 1,000 hours outside. That's the 1,000, the number out 1,000 and then spelled out hours outside. And their whole push, their whole movement is about kids and parents being outside for 1,000 hours. And they have all these trackers that you can color in and draw or whatever. You free printables, all the kinds of stuff. But the whole goal is to get you outside all year long, right? You have the whole year to get 1,000 hours. It's roughly, I think, about 3 to 4 hours a day. So summer, you know, if you're camping, gosh, you got like 24, 36 hours just knocked out right there,
okay,
right?
Okay, so you can cram is what you're telling me.
For those of you that maybe get, you know, winters that it's like deadly for you to go outside or something.
Hello, Midwesterners.
Yeah.
Or Wisconsin fans.
Yeah. So the whole goal, again, is for you to get outside, to breathe the fresh air, to be outside, have your kids go outside, explore. You know, they say that a child's job is play, and being outside with just natural elements is one of the best things you can do for your child. And today, I think we want to kind of hang our hats on these two verses. But the reason why we're talking about why you should be outside, like you're not going to be a better Christian, right? If you're outside or inside, although I could argue that point, actually. Not better Christian.
That's what you're doing.
Better. Right. But 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." This passage, Ryan, you're the biblical scholar.
No, I'm not.
Why don't you tell us what the context is? Because I don't want to be proof texting here. Because ultimately, yes, we are supposed to glorify God in our bodies and whatever we do, but let's get some context.
Yeah, well, it's one of these verses are, some of them stand alone, right? It's a hard and fast truth that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Hard stop. So do we need the context to understand what that means for our day-to-day lives? It helps, but I think it's enough to say that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That being said, Corinth was a very worldly place. The church was riddled with kind of the worldly weights that it had kind of brought onto itself,
sure,
both in terms of the sin that was kind of bubbling up within the context of the church.
Yeah.
So Paul's dealing with that in some parts of 1 Corinthians, namely around sexual immorality in this section. And then prior to that, just how believers are to view one another as they're not just another citizen of Corinth. They are citizens of the kingdom of God. Therefore, they treat each other as such. So given that context, whether that adds anything, I think we could probably make that case. But here we just want to talk about the idea of your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And because by virtue of that, and that's what we're getting to, it deserves a special consideration, special treatment.
Yeah.
Both in terms of what you use your body for and what you put into your body and how your body can or cannot glorify God.
Right, right.
So are you saying here that because I'm made in the image of God, my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, therefore I should go play outside?
I mean, sort of, yes. But also more than that, there are blessings and benefits to being outside, right? And yes, we're held accountable for how we steward the temple, steward our bodies. Are we all consumed and always inside and not moving our bodies unto the glory of God? I mean, you know, just Google being outside and what are the benefits of fresh air, right? You're not going to find anything that's bad.
And what are the alternatives?
I
want to talk about that a little bit because do you talk about that coming up? Because so here's what I see. We have our community of people that we hang out with. Mm-hmm. So there's that aspect of what we see. And we hang out with these people because we see the world the same way in that God is God. We are not. We exist for God's glory. We need to be glory givers of God willingly. Yeah. Everyone will give God glory. Christians choose to give it willingly, but you will give God glory whether you choose to or not. We can unpack that at another time. The point is, in that community, we see themes. People value being outside. So this is really kind of fits within our current lifestyle. In other circles, there are people that do not value this and maybe have been played pretty fast and loose with things like screens and video games and TV and YouTube and the internet.
Yeah.
And that to me is the contrast here.
Sure.
So if you've got a child that is not wanting to go outside, well, the first question is why? It's probably because there's something more attractive inside.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's more attractive, whether or not that's healthy, it can be discussed. It's probably going to be something like video games or a screen cartoons or whatever.
Yeah.
In which case, check out the Gospel Tech podcast. That's a good friend of ours. His name's Nathan Sutherland and his wife, Anna. They kind of had this ministry. Mm-hmm. I sit on the board for the ministry, believe in it, but he spends his days talking about the effects of technology and how to manage technology in the home from a Christian worldview,
right,
with a gospel-centered approach. So that's the contrast here. So when you talk about outside being an avenue through which we can bring more glory to God by stewarding this Holy Spirit temple that he's given us, that's what comes to mind, that I'm rejecting something in favor of something else.
Yes.
And that rejection of something is probably what I just discussed.
Totally. Okay. Right on. And just to be clear, we're not promoting, like we aren't getting any kickbacks or anything for those 1,000 hours outside. It's something I followed for a number of years. It's been a great kind of reminder and prompt to me to get my children outside, even when it's rainy and wet. It's like, go jump in puddles, go breathe some fresh air. You're all bouncing off the walls in here. Clearly you need to go outside. And it's not a Christian. They're not like, you know, maybe they are Christians. They're not overtly Christian. But it's just a valuable tool and resource for any family looking to get outside, to be active together, to grow in your relationships with one another and to honor the Lord and bring glory to him. Like Paul wrote to the Colossians also in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And just a few verses above that, he's exhorting the Colossians to put on the things of God, right? Put on then, he says, verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, right? And on about teaching, admonishing one another, singing psalms and hymns. Well, I don't know about you, but being outside on a walk with our kids has been one of the number one places where I can kind of get at their hearts a little bit more, where we are on a walk and I'm saying, hey, you know, when we had that argument this morning, or, you know, when you were getting after your sister about this, that, and the other, you know, when you were being selfish, you know, when mommy needed to repent to you for getting a little too upset, those kinds of opportunities are abundant when you are outside with one another. Yeah. And this is just a weekly rhythm of you're walking, you're doing something together, you're breathing the fresh air. You could even run and you can play and you can kind of maybe even reconnect. If you've had a hard day with your kid, playing outside is one of those ways to reconnect with your kid, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What comes to mind is that it is the speed of real life when you're outside. And I would just add that you can also teach pretty amazing life lessons.
Yes,
you
know, I was just going to say that. You're really good at that.
Yeah, encouraging them to do things they would not be comfortable doing.
Yes.
Obviously, you're having fun, but, you know, riding bikes, you know, it's just all the stuff that kind of, you
going
know,
going down the hill without putting your feet down and stopping the bike, right? You can do it, you know, jumping on, climbing up higher in the tree than you thought that you should, and all those kinds of things. There's an abundance of opportunities for our children to grow, for us to connect with them, for them to feel the pride of their, you know, parents being proud of them, connecting with them joyfully, swinging them higher on the swing, you know, helping them with the monkey bars. Like there's all this connection that I think we as adults are just like, the park again, you know, like those kinds of things. But the kids, they thrive on it. And it's not always about us.
I will tell you what, we went to the park the other day with the kids because the sun broke.
And sun's out. Everyone's out.
Tag.
Yes. Yeah. You don't even need toys. You can just run.
Like if you're trying, so I read a thing about like, if just on a little, I was on a kick for a while where I was reading about what's called your VO2 max.
Yes.
And like, that's like a huge metric for whether or not you're going to live a long, healthy life or not. And what it is how fast can your body absorb oxygen at full speed, like when you're at full sprint. And so if you wanted to get your VO2 max levels up, just play tag with your kids. And I swear, because Louisa, especially our 4-year-old,
she's fast
and she can run forever.
She can go.
And
forever.
So, and she just chased me around forever until finally I was just like, I give up.
And she's like, just running around, happy as a clam.
Because I am faster, but
she lasts longer though.
Yes. Dwarves are natural sprinters.
It's so true. So again, you know, the physical benefits of being out in fresh air. We know a family in Wenatchee, their boys' room is like open. They have an open wall, like all year long. They sleep outside basically. Wow. It's good for the heart, good for the soul. I think it's in Denmark. You always see the prams, the baby carriages with babies just bundled up in the snow and their moms are in having coffee. And like, they sleep with windows open. I think as a Swedish, they said there's no bad weather, just bad clothing. And again, play is the work of children. You know, they're building so many skills when they're playing outdoors, whether it's a sport and you're building body coordination or learning how to get along with a team and be under the authority of a coach, or if you're swimming with friends in a lake, sledding down a hill, right, in the snow, whatever it is, we want to do it unto the glory of God, right? They're all benefits to creation. The Bible's full of beautiful scripture about the outdoors. And the one thing I would like to, and I think you would like you to appreciate this, is delineate, is that creation is not what we worship and it's not where we worship, right? People go outside and they're like, ah, this is my church. No, it's not. Your church is your church.
We're going to get some pushback, but
that's
I agree.
Fine. That's fine. But Isaiah 55:12, for you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song and all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. We see nature being used to paint a picture of the joyous celebration of worshiping the Lord. Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Something restoring about being outside. That is a true thing. And we can all imagine green pastures. We can all imagine still waters. There's nature has this way of bringing us together, right? This common ground, no pun intended, but like, there's common ground there that we can all gather around. And as Christians, we can say, thank you, Lord. Like, thank you for this opportunity to experience your creation with our children.
So I'm imagining, okay, you're fierce, these fierce parenting parents, all right? Are any of them possibly thinking that being outside is not better than it is?
No,
not good?
I think that just the tipping point for me is just like, I think that my kids are outside, and then you kind of look back at the week and you're like, man, we really weren't outside as much as I had hoped, or we weren't outside at all. I think it's just almost a like, whoops.
I don't see, the reason why I bring that up is I don't feel like this is something many people need to be sold
persuaded
on,
but about,
really
yeah.
they need to be reminded about
100%
and encouraged in.
Yes.
And maybe given some tangible ways to step into the thing they already know and believe
yes,
to be true.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Being outside is great. It's good for your kids. Good for your heart.
Yeah.
Your
most people are like, yes, we like hiking. Yeah. We like swimming. We like all the things.
And okay. So how can we be tangible about getting our 1,000 hours in, so to speak? Boom. Wait till the end of the year. Just get 100 days straight.
Straight outside. Just coming ragged. We have some daily rhythms that I try to, you know, hit for us. We're definitely like, kids need to be outside no matter what the weather. So I'm like, get your bike, go run. Sometimes they just need to go outside and burn some steam. And then I need to go outside consciously with them and get out of my head, get out of my house, whatever is maybe, you know. So I see this as like a 1 to 2 hour activity, maybe. Maybe it's 30 minutes, maybe it's an hour, right? Disconnect from your screens, connect with your kids. Just once a day, get outside with your kids. Weekly, you know, this might look anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, right? Going out for a longer day together, going for a bike ride somewhere, picnic after church, you know. Build connection. Maybe you get a soccer game going in the park and you bring other kids over, right? Yeah. So there's ways that you can connect with your kids and even connect with others, all to the glory of God. And then monthly, I think just maybe planning a gathering at your home, have an outdoor game or some games, you know, you're ready to play, have a barbecue, eat outside, just do as much as you can and fellowship unto the glory of God. And annually, I think the thing that makes this distinctive, this annual outside activity, is that it's something new. I think you should try something new together. Go on a zip line somewhere or swim, go snorkeling somewhere. So maybe it's a part of a vacation, or maybe it's just something you've never done before, but it has to be outside and it has to be with your family so that you might be facing some fears. You might be building your family relationships and making a memory. That's something that your kids can talk about to their friends and say, it was awesome. And I was scared and I wasn't scared afterwards, was so brave, you know, and kids can grow. And we can all say, glory be to God for him giving us this beautiful playground called Earth, right?
I'm thinking about new things we could try.
Sandy's gone.
I was reading about Frank Herbert. Because all the Dune 2 is out. It's this sci-fi epic.
Oh, boy.
I'm kind of a sci-fi guy, I will admit. And he's from Tacoma.
Oh, didn't know that.
And did you know that? So this is a little bit of a sidebar, but it's worth it. George Lucas got a ton of inspiration from Frank Herbert to write Star Wars.
Nice.
So like the worm thing that's in Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Right. That was that's fully in the desert. That's fully inspired by Frank Herbert.
Nice.
Dune worms. Okay. Anyway.
I don't watch that.
This guy was insane. Not literally, but like the things he would do at the age of 14, he took a rowboat from Tacoma. He's from Tacoma again. So he took a rowboat from Tacoma to the San Juan Islands.
Is he from Tacoma?
Yeah, he's from Tacoma. Hometown.
That's far.
Westport, Pacific Northwest. That's far. to the San Juans. Look that up on a map, all right?
Yeah. Blisters anyone.
Rowboat. He, at the age of, I think, 17, swam across the Narrows.
Oh, wow.
If read about the narrows in Washington, Narrows Bridge.
Talk about currents.
Talk about octopi. There's like legendary octopus that lives under the
bridge. He didn't swim like 70 feet down. He swam
more like 200 feet.
He did not. Sorry.
You didn't know about the flora and fauna. Yes. And anyway.
Not a deep sea diver.
So I'm thinking we can maybe swim across the Narrows with the kids.
It'll be fine.
It'll be great.
Be safe, people. Be smart.
Yeah. Good. So being outside, another, I'm thinking about rhythms and things, habits. Okay. So we talked about daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, rhythms to establish, but habits and kind of, this is how our household functions.
Yeah.
So one of the rules we have is if they're not doing schoolwork and we're not busy, the default, and it's nice out, the default is go outside.
Mm-hmm.
they'll be outside. Don't,
yeah. We you even can play do inside, school.
But
we,
like, we'll even take them and they're happily playing. We'll say, stop that. Go outside.
Yeah. We will do school outside. Yeah. They will read outside. They will be outside all day. We will eat outside. Everything we can do to be outside, because they come in just, I mean, you know what it's like. Remember being a kid,
Know,
all day riding your bike, getting hot, like having a popsicle in the afternoon and like eating barbecue at night or whatever. And just coming in just ragged. And so your bed just feels so good. You're just, it's such a good feeling. And I want our kids to experience that. Like there's good. Just nothing like it.
Yeah. Anyway, there's some ideas for you. Did you have any other encouragements or ideas?
No, I just hope that connection's clear, that getting outside is one way you can connect with your kids, one way you can glorify the Lord. We go on hikes and I'll ask them, you know, to rattle back some scripture you've been memorizing, or, hey, did you and your sister work out that fight? Because now's a good time. Like, you're walking, you're moving. They all need to, like, just great opportunities.
Sorry. We used to go on dragon hunts when they thought dragons they were real.
That's so cute.
Which, yeah. So I would, we'd go in the forest and hunt for dragons. And I'd say, what's that? And they'd all perk up and they'd go, and it creates this idea of adventure and enlivens their imagination, things like that.
Yeah.
So really it's just the sky is the limit, quite literally.
Yeah.
When you're outside and you can think of all sorts of ways to enliven your children's and minds, their imaginations, and even their bodies.
As they grow, your adventures change, right? And that's awesome. So put something on the calendar. Make a new weekly habit. I mean, if the daily sounds overwhelming, just start with a weekly or start with a monthly and just get outside. And do it intentionally.
There you go. There you go. We hope this has helped you and just kind of given you some extra encouragement to this worthy end of spending time in God's beautiful creation for the health of your children, for the health of your family. We don't like to end these episodes without mentioning the gospel. We've read some scripture. Well, that scripture comes from the Bible. We believe the Bible is the inerrant, inspired word of God. Mm-hmm. It tells us about God's son, Jesus Christ, who is God himself. Mm-hmm. Made flesh. He lived the life that we couldn't live. He died the sinner's death on our behalf so that we could be saved if we place our faith in him.
Amen.
And the way he secured that salvation was that he did not stay dead. He defeated death. He arose from the grave on the third day and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So we want you to know that story. We want you to know who Jesus is. We want you to know what that means for your life. We want you to repent and believe the gospel, frankly. That's Christ's first call. Repent, believe, follow me. So to that end, we recommend you find a friend who's a Christian and talk to them about Jesus. Find a church that preaches out of the Bible. If you don't have either of those two things, go to this website. It's thenewsisgood.com, and that should help you to that end. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you for creation. God, what you have made, you yourself said was good. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that we can enjoy it. Thank you for the grace it is to breathe fresh air, the grace it is to feel the sunlight on our faces, the grace that it is to feel the wind blowing across our cheek. Lord, what amazing graces those are. I pray that we would enjoy those. We'd help our children to appreciate and enjoy those so that we might in turn glorify you all the more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Fierce Parenting. If you want to join the Fierce Fellowship, to hop on the fellow's ship, as Selena says.
It's a good boat name. The fellow's ship.
It's not a good, but good boat names do have puns. I'll give you that. So anyway. If you want to join that, go to fierceparenting.com/partner. With that said, this episode of Fierce Parenting is
in the can.
We'll see you again in 7 days. Until next time.
Stay fierce.